Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
You can turn off the CD player. Good morning. We welcome you from far and near, all the way from Texas to Port Huron, Michigan. We are so surprised and delighted. Your son and daughter-in-law drove up, right? You drove? Yeah. Oh, you flew, the Big Bird. Okay. It was a lot quicker, too. From Texas, and have brought Beulah Larson to our worship this day. And what a surprise to see her. But yeah, it's a nice Christmas gift for us. I did. Very good. This day is our congregational meeting at both services. So we invite you to stay. The privilege of voting is based by the Constitution, 18 years of age, member of the congregation by affirmation of faith, letter of transfer by confirmation to our Savior sometime in your lifespan recently. And so we do the business this day. We do elections, and then we do approval of a budget. We also have a temple talk during the service. And while she is fear and trembling, Jane will do a great job. Yes, you will. Also, I've been asked to announce that we're in the mode now of the holidays, so Christmas program, we wish to meet for the next two Sundays, correct? Yes, next two Sundays for approximately 5 minutes for anybody willing, adult or youth, to be in this intergenerational Christmas program. So don't count yourself out. Maybe in your childhood you never got a chance to be in this program. We can get you a chance this year. So consider the possibility. So after worship, both services next week, approximately a 5 to 10 minute time, we get organized and see who will participate with us. Okay. You can speak also to Jennifer, our music director, and you can also speak to Anna Morrison. The other thing is there is a concert musical at Faith Lutheran on Wednesday the 28th, Saturday the 1st of December. Harry Krause has asked us to announce that, and it's called The Arrival, and that'll be at Faith Lutheran. So let that kind of work with you as well. I'm trying to think any other before. My voice is interrupting. Do you hear? Because what?
Cutting in and out.
Yeah, that's the battery is still green, so don't know what we're doing. Okay, we welcome those in WPHM to our worship this day or later on WPHM.net. We live stream as well as we have a podcast with WPHM. So please listen to us. If you miss a given Sunday, you'll find the last many Sundays there at the website at WPHM.net. Our worship begins this day for this week. You'll find it beginning page one. Please rise for confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who calls us to an everlasting hope, who guides us to springs of the water of life, who enlightens us with the spirit of wisdom. Amen. One with the communion of saints in all times and places, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. O God, our merciful Redeemer, we confess the ways we live only for ourselves. We failed to see you in our neighbor's face. We turn our ears from voices that cry out. We pass by the hungry and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sin and strengthen us for service to all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all of your sin. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad, beloved people of God. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, next page 3. Lord of glory, you have bought us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of the day is, This is the Day. We'll sing it twice, please. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Will you join me in the prayer of the day? We'll pray together. O God, you show forth your almighty power, chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, strengthen our trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of the Word of God. Marcia is our first lector.
This chapter begins the story of Elijah. God sends a drought on Israel because of the sins of King Ahab. This passage depicts God's saving acts, not only on behalf of Elijah, but also on behalf of those who are associated with the prophet, even a foreigner, the widow of Zarephath. The first reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. As he was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pastor. Jane?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I begin, I would like to take a moment and give thanks to God for blessing each and every one of us with this day, the congregation that is present, our radio listeners, and for the spiritual leadership of Pastor Don. For those of you that may not know who I am, my name is Jane Borntrager, and I am a member of Our Savior Lutheran Church. I serve on the Altar Guild, and I am a deacon. In the previous weeks, we have heard about the catch-up campaign for the financial situation of our church. So far, our goal is a sixth of the way. And Scott and Kathy have expounded on the details of why we need this campaign and how crucial it is for our church. Well, many of us are probably wondering how we could possibly give more when our present financial situations may or may not be able to sustain another expense. I would like to share some truths, encouragements, and hope that are found in God's Word that will enable us to reach our goal. Genesis 1:1 states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The truth is, everything belongs to God, and each one of us are called as stewards to use what God has given us to His glory. Which also leads me to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The truth is, giving is a heart matter and not a money matter. First of all, we must come to God, make time to pray, and we also must sacrifice. As we live in a modern world today, it is true that many of us, at one time or another, goes out to dinner, we support fundraisers, we have our personal charities, and some of us perhaps take a chance on a lottery ticket, and we use our resources in some ways that may not always be beneficial. My suggestion is that maybe we would sacrifice some of those pleasures that we take for ourselves and use those funds to support our campaign. And just for a short while, and that we should also be in prayer to the Lord so that He may guide us and give us direction on the way that we should go. Because through prayer and sacrifice is probably the best way out of this situation. But I ask you, do not be discouraged. The Bible has numerous verses where God promises to provide for His children. And the one that resonates the most with me at this time is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it will be given back to you." Now, I don't say these things to put pressure on anyone to support our campaign, but as a reminder that God is with us in this endeavor. And as our order to reach our goal and to keep the doors open here at Our Savior Lutheran, we need to be in prayer and supplication to our Lord. I thank you for your attention in this matter, and I would like to close with this Bible verse. Philippians 4, verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. See, you had nothing to be nervous about. As an update, prior to today, we are $6,500, I think, Marcia, right towards our goal. Yeah, you'll see that in the ketchup bottle in the back. Okay, and we have second reading.
second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 28. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters a holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as he appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, John. If you're able to stand, stand for the gospel acclamation. And we speak it together there, page 8. Hallelujah. The Lord raises up the poor from the dust to make them inherit a seat of honor. Hallelujah. The gospel text for this day is Mark 12th chapter, beginning with verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus taught, he said, now beware the scribes who walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, in the public eye, to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor when they're invited to a banquet. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury. In the synagogue, there would be a place where the box for the offering would be received. He watched the crowd putting their money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came, put in 2 copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to this treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, and all she had to live upon. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those on radio, WPHM, for those of us in-house or by simulcast or by later podcast, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Backside of your inside of the cover, back cover, you'll see a theme for the day, high points from all 3 lessons. As you know, I like to cover all 3 scriptures so we get the full image of what God is telling us rather than some specific Bible bullet, okay? Theme is trusting God. All that we have for our very salvation, as well as for our daily bread. For our salvation and for our daily bread. You might have thought that the pastor chose the lessons. I remind you, we as Lutherans, we are a lectionary church. The lessons are chosen for us if we choose to use them. And we stay with the lectionary 99.7% of the time. In the lectionary, we have a full picture of what God is saying to us. You know, in some denominations, the pastors choose the scriptures. So if they have a particular bent or point of emphasis, they kind of beat the dead horse. We're balanced, and that's the way it was meant to be. To hear the full countenance of God, what God is about from Old Testament, epistle, and gospel. To get the whole idea of what God wants of God's people. We begin with the Old Testament reading, 1 Kings 17. Have any of you heard this one before? Okay, a couple of you.
This particular reading, it's like the intro says, it's at the beginning of his ministry, Elijah. And of course, we've said, as whenever Elijah comes up, Elijah is one of the principal prophets of Israel. So that on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is coming up soon, there will be an appearance of Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. Remember that scene? Elijah, a principal voice and vessel of God. It's the beginning of his ministry, and he's asked to do something which is kind of strange. God says, now I want you to go to this particular town. There you're going to find a widow, and she's very poor. She didn't have any rich husband. There was no social security. There was no death benefits and no life insurance policy. She was poor. Women in the ancient world were entitled to no rights. And their wealth and their standing was based upon the husband they married. Okay, so she's a widow. She doesn't have anything except a son, which in many cases is one more drain on the family budget if he's not economically producing. She's at the end of her wits. What is she going to do? And now Elijah comes up to the town gate. He says, dear lady, can you do what I ask of you? She doesn't know yet what he's going to do. He says, can you get some water for me? So she runs, gets some water for a man. That's a social obligation. Man says it, you do it. Next thing, give me some flour, some of the grindings you have there, and make me some bread. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. If I were to do that, I would die, and so would my son. Now, here's Elijah making the strangest promise. Elijah, speaking the word of the Lord, says, if you obey, you will not run out, and you will not starve to death. And what credentials does he have to her? He's a stranger, but she trusts God's word. So she does it. She takes the jar of her meal, mixes it with the water, and bakes him something to eat. And the flour, the water, never ran out. Got to understand what Elijah had put upon the nation, because the king's disobedience and the nation's disobedience was one of the worst droughts in the country's history. And she was provided and protected with her obedient spirit. That's the beginning of a ministry that is going to be an incredible ministry for Elijah. He spoke the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was validated, and the woman obeyed it, and she was provided during this period of drought. And all you can do is give thanks to God that this indeed has taken place as the prophet has said. I don't know if you and I, in our day, you know, poor in America is to be on a fixed income or a steady source of income that doesn't seem to rise with inflation, right? That's kind of how we define it. But you have an income. You see the difference between her and us? She was destitute. And she was willing to give it up on the advice and the encouragement of a promise spoken by an invisible God through a man who's a stranger, and she trusted. And it came to pass. In the second reading, Hebrews, it speaks about one who is a priest. He has offered the greatest sacrifice, that's the salvation factor, in our life and for our well-being. He's not like earthly priests that have served in the house of the Lord in the Old Testament days, because every year the Jewish custom was you go up one day and you make atonement for sins with the slaughter of the animals and those kind of conditions prescribed in Leviticus. And then you come back the next year and you do it again and again. This sacrifice that God gives to us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is not repeated. It's once for all. so that you and I may have the gift of eternal life with assurance that God keeps his word and it doesn't need to be physically reenacted again. The sacrifice once for all, so that you and I have been bought with a price. In my collection of many Christian t-shirts, by many I mean over 100, I can't wear them all at the same time. There's one that it plays on the secular idea this shirt was property of you, MSU, U of M, you know, property of, and they probably never even went to the school. But I have the one that says, this is, I am property of God. I am God's property. If we understand the principle of sacrifice of the Hebrew passage here, is that Jesus Christ paid the price. We are set free because the bounty has been paid for. Lock, stock, and barrel. You and I can't add anything to it. Nor can we possibly ever repay God for what God has done for us. So don't even think that. We respond out of love for a God who has given us everything, including his own son, for our salvation. He paid the price. We got the gain. And it was a win-win situation for humanity. In the gospel text, it's the story of a poor widow. It's the story of many people making their gifts and their offerings to the Lord. Jesus just happens to be positioned by the offering box. And some denominations have an offering box, and the members come in and drop their offering envelopes there. We pass the plate, as many traditions do. It's a representation of something we are bringing and not buying. Gratitude for love, for what God has done for us. So Jesus is there with the 12. He's watching people come and buy, some in really great raiment, probably jewelry on their hands and fingers, and just kind of showing it off. And they put in large sums. It's impressive. I mean, we're going to do good things for the temple with this. And certainly the people will notice who did it. Jesus says, then comes this one lady. She comes with two little coins, hardly enough to rub together, and she dropped it all in the offering box. Now, this is not a lesson Jesus is teaching about the sum you give. It is about the proportion in which you give. I read the scriptures. I'd add one quality that God wants from God's people, and that is for us to be proportionate givers. As we have been blessed, so we are to bless. This is not payment for our salvation. This is not a good work. This is just done out of love and obedience to our God. It is a response of love, as the widow did, as the first widow did with Elijah. It's trusting God for the days of my life. Martin Luther, in the explanation, take you back to Luther's small catechism. In the Lord's Prayer, when we pray for our daily bread, do you understand what that meant to Luther in explaining it to us Lutherans? You know, God does provide for us in so many ways. It's not just with what you eat. It's good government. It's stability in your life, not chaos. It's for good schools, good teachers. It's for faithful people who execute their medical talents and skills for your care and my care. It's for all those supportive things. Luther says that is your daily bread God's providing you. Now, most of the time, we don't know what that means because we just recite words. The Lord's Prayer is one of the most frequently repeated prayers. I dare say not many people ponder it. But if you understand God provides for all the things in your life and my life that makes it possible to live, makes it possible for for this nation to prosper. Makes it possible for churches and congregations to exist. Makes it possible for us to live out our days until we graduate into the kingdom of God. Daily bread is provided by God. Now, I've had to deal with people in congregations over the years. They'll say, well, God didn't do that. I had to get the job. And so I'll back that one up. Okay, where did you get the job? How did you get the job? On your own? Did you get education? Were there people there who helped and supported you to reach those goals? Was it an accident, chance, that this happened? How did you sustain it if you had a career? You did full-time service on your own? How do you think things came to pass in this nation, in this world, at this time, this place, for you and I to be here? Luck? Think not. Chance? I dare not. Call it God. God provides the path our feet walk on. God enables us to see, to take risks, to obey God and God's word. And I understand it's not easy. It wasn't easy for the first widow or the second widow, 800 years apart for the two stories. But it is the same truth. You don't grow unless you take a risk. I always like the cute picture. Sometimes Zig Ziglar, a motivator's person, says a turtle doesn't get ahead unless it sticks its neck out. Can you imagine a turtle with its head in the shell? It doesn't take any chances. I'm going to take care of myself. I made myself. Well, that's a real work of art. No. All that we receive is God. What we do with it is our gift back to God. The Old Testament Jew had to deal with it. The New Testament church and people, Christians, have to deal with it. We live on God's terms, not our terms, to understand how blessed we truly, truly are. One of the customs we use here at Our Savior on Thanksgiving Eve is that we repeat, it's my tradition, one that I put onto this congregation, the reading of the Proclamation of Thanksgiving by President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. You're going to hear it on Thanksgiving Eve, but let me kind of summarize it real quick for you. It's just simply, here we are in the midst of a civil war, and we're still not certain if the North is going to win or the South is going to win, but we know God is providing for us in these dire times. But we have so much as a nation to give thanks for. Let us never take it for granted, because we have not desired it, deserved it, did not qualify for it. It is God's gift for us as a people. And then he goes on to say, and I dare say we should not ask God to let the North win or the South win. Let's just ask that we are in harmony with God's will. Not that we twist God's will to be in harmony with a political cause or particular side. Boy, was he ahead of his time. Understand, we are a blessed people. No matter how bad it is for some of us, there are others who have more to be thankful for. But the bare bones is we all have something to be thankful for. May the God who has granted us this grace and salvation and provides for us, like Luther says, in our daily bread, keep us true to being thankful for all God's many blessings. Amen. Now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, page 10, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance. Our worship continues with our prayers. If you'll please rise, Jane leads us.
With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. O God, preserve your church from empty piety. Stir up our will to act with mercy and compassion. Keep our bishops, pastors, teachers, and all who proclaim your good news strong in faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Provide all living things with sufficient food and clean water. Make us ever mindful of the farmers and laborers who supply us with food, and open our hands to share what we have received. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Awaken our nation to care for veterans and others who have experienced the stress and trauma of war or other military conflicts. Inspire us to promote the well-being of those who have put themselves in the service of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bow down to meet those who are trampled. Greet them with mercy and give new life to those who feel overwhelmed or broken by discrimination, grief, or illness, especially the family of Evelyn Edwards with her passing, Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Alexandra Rostoni, Maria Romp, John Pinnell and Elaine Pinnell, Mike Parker, Bev Chittister, Elvira and Joe Colhard, Rhonda Crosby, Andrew Cataldo, Kelly Parker, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Don Jaskuski, Jerry Leatherdale, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Bob Shirky, Sharon Cunningham, Brad DeTerry, Doug McLean, Julie Martin Dickinson, Joe O'Connor, and Marilyn Wright. And Lord, on this Veterans Day, we thank and praise those have volunteered their sacrifice to serve our country, especially Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, Rob Nolan, and all those returning safely from their service here and overseas, and those returning to our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the ministries in our community that reach out to people who are unnoticed or neglected. Give us a common vision of justice that eliminates hunger, greed, and self-righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bind us together with the saints of every time and place until we join them around your throne. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Enfold all things into your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. This Sunday we sing the Lord's Prayer.
Give us this day our daily bread.
If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts to do the work of Jesus Christ today. Remind you, after the worship ends soon, just be seated again. We'll pass out the appropriate papers so it doesn't get confused with your bulletin for doing the business of God's people here at Our Savior Lutheran for the next year. Remind you of a potluck meal that will take place after the second service and the congregational meeting, probably around, 1245, that might be. And we'll have plenty of food downstairs. Now, you don't get to smell it right now, but by the second service, you're going to smell it. It's cooking. So you'll be seeing different kinds of foods here. Just to remind you of some of the things coming our way. This Thursday, we downtown churches, what we call Old Town, we're going to be meeting, three of us, with people from the appropriate agencies of Port Huron to see what we downtown churches, what part we can play in the homeless condition for this winter for the residents of this city. So that's an important meeting, and we're going to be presented with options and how we can interface with our sisters and brothers of the Christian faith to do the ministry in Jesus' name. So pray for us on Thursday. We also will be doing a church newsletter in about 10 days. So if you have any information for us to put in for the December 1, please get it to Donna in the office, please, in writing. That makes it so much easier for us. There are many things in your bulletin. I hope you'll read it and look over it. Just the name Evelyn Edwards, I just don't want that to just drop off the radar there. We put a petition in, her funeral was yesterday. She was in a vital part for us making a transition when Sharon Hudson's health was changing. And Evelyn was available to us on every other month and any chance she could give us. When that need diminished, and she played for other churches too, as she always did in her life, other than just St. Martin, then we were gifted with Iris Cook and we were gifted with Jeremy Jones. You might have forgotten about her, but she never forgot about us. She was definitely part of that bridge for our Savior during troubled waters and struggles as Sharon graduated. So keep the family in your prayers. We also did joint catechism with her daughter and all kinds of neat stuff we did together over the years. Our worship continues then as our gifts are presented. If you'll please rise.
Consecrate. consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Creator God, you made everything and you provide for every need. The bread we break and the wine we pour come from you. As we eat and drink with thanksgiving, fill us with your love. Let that love flow through us to others and join us to the saints before us in holy and boundless communion. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The love of God surrounds you. The grace of Christ release you. The Holy Spirit be your guide as well as your strength, now and forever. Amen. Closing hymn, page 16, we'll sing first and fourth verse, 1 and 4.
Led on by the saints before us, go in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'll please be seated, we will get things together.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.